Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life.
Well, it's good to have you in the barn of the Lord today. Are you excited to be here? Well, I love the spring. Anybody love the spring? Baby calves, yeah, all the green grass. Hopefully that'll stick around. If it keeps raining, we'll get some more grass. But I love the spring. This spring, I've had the pleasure of actually going to a few ranches. And if you don't know, I get to take pictures. I'm a photographer as well. And so I get to go around and take pictures. Sometimes they want me to take pictures. Sometimes they want me to work. And sometimes they want me to do both. And so I get to go around and be a part of some of these great spring brandings that these cowboys put on. And it's just a pleasure. I've been in some big pastures. Probably the biggest pasture that I was in was, I think, 8,500 acres under one fence. And so we rode to gather cattle there, and it was, you know, one of those experiences that I'll never forget. But I get to ride with a bunch of cowboys. I was in Arnett, I guess you could call it Arnett, just the other day at the Davison & Son Cattle Ranch, and they have over 44,000 acres and leased land, which is kind of neat. So just got the pleasure of riding with some great cowboys. And here's the thing. In most of these pastures that I get to go and be a part of these gatherings and stuff, most of these pastures, they do the same thing every time. And I want to explain that to you. First of all, you start out and you get all the cowboys meet. Some of them meet at the break of dawn. Some of them meet at like 8 o'clock. They get around and they just eat it, eat breakfast and get around at 8. Some I've been up a couple times this year at, I believe, 3:45 in the morning. Thursday, I got up at 4:30 and we were out in the back of the pasture, about 5:30. And so, whether you're an early riser or whether you're not, it doesn't really matter. You get up, you're excited, and you're ready to go. Well, in these big pastures, they actually start out at a gate or whatever. They come into the pasture, and then they form what they call, and again, I've just heard this from some cowboys. I don't know what you would call it, but they form what they call a jig line or a drop line. Now, many of you have maybe never been in a pasture with a bunch of cowboys, but it's actually a line of cowboys, and what they do is they go and they gather the cattle, and they get in a line, they form a line, and they long trot out to gather these cattle. And it's called a drop line because when they get to the back of the pasture, the cow boss or whoever's in charge drops cowboys off at the backside of the pasture. Well, there's some cowboy code. If you didn't know, and maybe I've just learned some of this on my own because I made the mistake of doing these things, but there's a few cowboy codes that you need to figure out. One is this: never ride in front of the cow boss, right? If you're on a jig line or a drop line and you're trotting out to the back of the pasture, never ride in front of the cow boss. I mean, it's funny to watch, somebody that maybe has never been there before ride out in front of the cow boss, and you can just see the other cowboys just go, man, that dude needs to get back in line. It's just not right. So that's a cowboy code that you need to follow. The other one is you long trot. In other words, you just trot along. You don't lope, right? You long trot. One of the things that that does, and again, maybe this is just my own experience, is that warms your horse up. It gives that horse a time to, get warmed up so that when you get in the branding pen, your horse isn't fresh and acting like an idiot. And so you long trot rather than you lope. And then the other thing is, and maybe I've just figured this out on my own, that you don't whine. Some of these pastures are so big and I'm so out of shape that when you're long trotting for like 2 miles and you got a camera with a zoom about that long in your hand and you're long trotting for like 2 miles, I mean, I don't know about you, but I get winded. And if you got a jacket on, I'm the only one sweating. All these other cowboys, they're in rhythm, they're getting it. And I'm like, dang, we need to stop. I need some oxygen, or something. And your horse has that pain in his side, because he's feeling it because your horse is out of shape like you. Well, the truth is you shouldn't whine. Never say anything about it. Don't rub your side. Don't rub your leg. If you fall off, make an excuse up that you're not tired or that you didn't get a cramp, which I've had a cramp. But But when you get out there, you don't ride in front of the cow boss. You long trot out there. You don't lope and you don't whine. Well, when you get into the back of the pasture, what happens is the cow boss or whoever's in charge, the ranch manager or whoever, when you get to the back of the pasture, maybe you're on one side of it, he begins to drop cowboys off. And what that means is he'll leave a cowboy and say, hey, I want you to, you know, stay right here. I want you to drop off here. I want you to gather this. And then he'll drop another one off. And then he'll stagger them out all the way across the back pasture. One of the things that I've noticed, and maybe because, again, I'm new to a lot of these pastures, is the cow boss usually keeps me close to him. You can take that as an insult. I don't. Because here's the thing. When it's foggy out and you're in a pasture about 8,500 acres, you don't want to be by yourself too long. Because if you get turned around and it's foggy out, I mean, I could go the wrong way, and I've never done it. So far, I've never done it. But you can get lost. And that's when you pull out your iPhone and you get your compass and you're like, okay, I know north is around here somewhere. Because again, it's like, you know, east, west, you can't tell when it's foggy, when it's cloudy. So you get dropped off, and again, the cow boss, he tends to keep the younger cowboys or the inexperienced cowboys closer to him so that he can watch over them or kind of check on them every now and then as he's, you know, zigzagging back to the corral. Well, here's the thing. The first cowboy that's dropped off, guess what he has to do? He has to wait. Because when they're dropping the rest of the cowboys off, if this guy's coming, then he's going to go a little too fast, and he's going to get all the cows moving one direction. So when you drop the first cowboy, again, he needs to be experienced enough to know to wait. And so he'll wait until he figures out that all the other cowboys, or he's given enough time, and they've all been dropped off, and then all at once they begin to move. And they begin to zigzag, and they begin to go through the pasture gathering up cattle. Here's some couple other tips that I'll give you if you've ever been in a drop line or you've ever been dropped back into the back of a pasture. When you're gathering cattle, ride the ridge rather than in the valley, right? Instead of riding in a valley where you can't see anything and all you can see is what's in the valley, ride the ridge so that you can see on both sides of the ridge, and you can see cattle over here, you can see cattle over here, and you can even see that cowboy that's riding next to you staggered out there a little ways. And so ride the ridge, and then here's another thing. Never ride in front of another cowboy. If you ride in front of another cowboy, that means it's kind of a sign of disrespect. It's like, you're on my turf, I was dropped off here, so get on your turf and stay over there where you're supposed to be. And I have, you know, again, I've been in situations where you just make it over to their side, and you didn't know you were over to their side, and that's okay. Every pasture is different, every cow boss is different. But here's the thing, that whole scenario that I just described, it's called making a circle. Because you're making a circle. You're making a circle all the way around these cattle, and you're bringing them back in so that they can be worked. Once the cattle are all gathered, the cow boss or maybe another good hand, they cull off the dry cows, and they get them into another corral so that they can haul them off, and they sort off the calves. And then once the calves have been dragged to the fire, they will work the mama cows, and then they will release them, and they will hold them until they mother up, and then they're done, right? That's what you call a good day's work. The other day we worked, I think it was 140 or 138 calves by 10:30 in the morning. Had some excellent cowboys, and it was fun to watch and fun to take pictures. Well, needless to say, guess what? I love it. Some people are like, hey, when I walk into like a restaurant in the city, they're like, hey, look at that guy. And they look at me, they go, are you really a cowboy? And I'm like, yeah, I'm really a cowboy. And they go, you're a team roper. And I'm like, no, team roper. Nothing against team ropers. You're riding the rodeo. No, I don't ride the rodeo. I'm just a cowboy. And I love it. I love it. Last Thursday, I got to stay on a chuck wagon at the Davison Ranch. Got to sleep in my teepee. Loved every minute of it. It's awesome. I love it. Well, here's the thing. I want to share with you a message today. A message that is as simple as making that circle. I think it's a message that you may say, well, it's too simple, but I believe it's more profound. And if I was to leave this world, never have had an opportunity to preach another message, this would be the message that I would preach to every Christian in the world. And so today, I want to share with you from the Bible what I believe, again, is the greatest calling of every believer in Christ. If everyone in the church will commit to do what the Lord says today, we won't stop growing the kingdom of God. We won't. And I want to set this up. Matthew 28, 16 and 20, it says this. And I'll set it up this way. Jesus is about to leave his disciples. He's been crucified. He's risen from the dead. And now he's going to go to heaven. Okay? And this is what he says to his disciples before he leaves. Look at it. Matthew 28, 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Some great, great verses there. I want to pray again, ask God to bless the rest of our message today. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a good word. We thank you that you've given us a message of hope. And Lord, today, as we look at your word and as we look at these scriptures, I pray that you would equip us, that you would show us what it means to make that big circle. Lord, we thank you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, here's the thing. In these verses, if you have a Bible and if you have your Bible today, at the top of these verses, guess what this is called? It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You say, well, what's the word commission mean? Well, let me explain it this way. If you've ever been to a museum or a gallery, a lot of times, or even an organization or a business, a lot of times a business will commission someone to build something for an anniversary. Let's say it's like the 75th anniversary of John Wayne's birthday. I mean, 75 years of his death, or 90 years or whatever it is. A lot of times, an organization, a museum, or a gallery will commission someone to build a saddle or a bit or some spurs in honor of John Wayne or whatever the occasion is. Well, commissioning is that idea. Someone authorizes, someone orders this, this thing or whatever it is so that they can make it. Well, here's the thing. Jesus is doing the same thing. You know what he says to his disciples? He says, hey, I want you guys to go out and I want you to make disciples. He equips them, he empowers them, he commands them to multiply, to win souls, to lead others to Christ, so that they might share in eternity in heaven with them. Now, here's the thing. I believe that all Christians are called to the Great Commission. Listen, at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, I say this all the time, and I don't know if you get tired of it. I probably get tired of saying it, but it's true. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we are not a church for the Christian to come to and really just kind of, feel like it's all about them. You know why? Because God has specifically called our church to reach unchurched and lost people. You know why we do it? Because God has commanded us to. And I think a lot of times we get caught in our Christian corrals. And we think, well, I got all my buddies with me. I got all this, church stuff with me. I mean, we're all comfortable here. Everybody's all comfortable. No, listen. Thousand Hills Ranch Church is called to fulfill the Great Commission. And you say, well, how do we do that? Well, here's the thing. It's simple. It's as simple as we want to make it. Here's the thing. A lot of churches, they complicate what God has told them to do. You know why they do it? Because if it's complicated, then they have a reason not to do it. I'm here to tell you today that the Word of God and what God is teaching us today and what His Word says today, it's simple. God's will is simple. His purpose is simple. The commission of God is simple. You may be thinking, well, if it's so simple, tell me how to do it. Okay, here you go. Number one is this. How do we fulfill the Great Commission? Number one, we make a big circle. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that circle. When those cowboys, they go out and they make a big circle just like they ride out and they gather these cattle because they need to be worked. We are called to gather the lost. We are called to, you know, to gather up the down and out so that they can be worked by the Lord. Amen? Verse 19 says the very first two words, therefore what? Go. Can you say it again? Therefore? Therefore, therefore, go. It doesn't say, therefore, stay. Therefore, get comfortable. Therefore, grow a big church and be all haughty and proud because you got a big church. You know what it says? It says, go. And that's what God has called us to do. And you say, well, where do we go? Look at verse 19 again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. You know what that really says? It's go everywhere. Go everywhere you can go. There's no place far enough. There's no place too far. You go and God will go with you. We can't get held in our Christian corrals thinking, oh, these stray people, they're just going to come to us. I mean, they'll show up one of these days. They'll get, you know, hungry. They'll get thirsty. They'll come. Now listen, it's not going to happen. We have to get out and go in to this dark and desperate world and pursue the lost. And here's the thing. You say, well, that stuff's just for preachers. You know how many times I've heard that? You know, that's Bo's job. That's why we pay him. We pay him to go out and get into the world. We pay him to do that. We pay him to preach. We pay him to do all these things. Listen, you may be thinking that that's my job, and guess what? It is. But it's your job too. It's your job too. Do you know what the disciples did before Jesus called them to be a disciple? Some of them were tax collectors. Some of them were tent makers. Some of them were fishermen. You say, well, oh yeah, that's seminary right there. I mean, those guys were really educated. No, they weren't. A lot of them had no education. A lot of them were just everyday average people that God called to do extraordinary things. And guess what? He's called you to do the same thing. You know, so don't ever believe or think that God hasn't called you to do the Great Commission. He has. He's called every one of us if we call him Savior. Now, can I give you a few tips on making the big circle as a Christian? Number one is this. Don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Just like you don't get ahead of that cow boss when you're on that drop line, you don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what's that mean? You know, well, let me give you a verse. Psalm 27:14 says this, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And you say, well, what does it mean to wait for the Lord? I'm reminded of Peter. Remember Peter, the disciple? I mean, one of the greatest disciples in the Bible. I love him because you know why? He had some guts. He wasn't afraid. But here's the thing about Peter. A lot of times Peter got ahead of the Lord. Or at least he was chomping at the bit to get ahead of the Lord. And again, I can maybe relate to him a little bit. But I love Peter. Peter oftentimes wanted to get ahead. He wanted to do things before God told him to do it. And sometimes it got him into trouble. Listen, it's the same thing that can happen to us. You say, well, how do we get ahead of God? Maybe it's sometimes you feel like you got to scattergun everybody with the gospel. You know, I mean, it's just like boom, boom. And you just got everybody you talk to, oh, you need to come to Christ. Everybody, you know, you just get on your knees right here and at your work. And you need to give your life to Christ right here at work. And you say, well, aren't we supposed to share the gospel? Absolutely. But there's a time for it. Not on our time, but on the Holy Spirit's time. Does that make sense? And so you need to remember that. You know, you may be sitting by someone at the rodeo and you feel like, man, I'm supposed to witness this person. I'm supposed to share the gospel with this person. If that's God's will and if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it, you need to do it. But if he's not, you need to keep your mouth shut. You say, are we supposed to keep our mouth shut about God? Sometimes, yes. You know what? I've been in situations where I forced a conversation and it went straight to the pot. And so we've got to wait on the Holy Spirit. You know, just like these cowboys get dropped off to gather their part of the pasture. We are responsible to gather our part of the pasture of life. We are to leave that part for someone else to gather, and we are to focus on who and where God has told us to gather. Does that make sense? And here's the thing. God knows how much you can handle. Just like that cow boss who I ride out there with, and he wants me to stay close because he knows I don't know my way around this pasture, so he keeps me close. A lot of times, God will send some of you that are more mature in your faith. He'll send you further out. But some of you maybe are new in your faith, a little more or less immature or less mature, and he will keep you closer so that you can be close to him and not get too far out there. He knows you, and he knows what you can handle, and he wants to use you no matter what. And you say, well, you know, can I give you this other tip? Be flexible. You may think, well, God's called me to work here. He's called me to witness here. He's called me to do this. No, he may call you out of your comfort zone to witness somewhere else. And can I give you an example? And this is just the truth, okay? I've preached about homosexuality in our church. And I've apologized to every homosexual that I've ever met because I have wrongfully made fun of them. But here's the thing that God oftentimes has done in my life because I have to get out of my comfort zone. He surrounds me with homosexuals. And again, I'm thinking, God, you call me to cowboys. I'm supposed to be over here with these cowboys. But here's the thing. And taking pictures, and I'm just going to let you in on this because I want to be up front with this. And when I take these pictures, a lot of times I'll post them online, and guess who likes them? The homosexual cowboys. So guess who I get to have a conversation with about this picture that I took? The homosexual cowboy. Can you say out of my comfort zone? But here's the thing. Their sin is equal to my sin. I'm supposed to love them just as much as I love you. And so here's the thing. You may think, well, God's called me to reach cowboys, and he has called our church to reach the Western culture. But here's the thing. You need to be flexible. There are some people that might walk into your life with a pair of skinny jeans on, and they need Jesus just like us people that wear Wranglers. I'm talking about boys with skinny jeans. Does that make sense? And so listen, you got to be flexible and know that God and the Holy Spirit has led you, and don't get in front of the Holy Spirit. The second tip that I want to give you for gathering up the lost is this. We are to ride the high ridge. And you say, well, what's that mean? Well, just like those cowboys ride the high ridge so that they can see further. Listen, you know how we can see further? When we walk in righteousness. You say, how can I see clearer? How can I know what God is wanting me to say or do over here? You've got to walk on the high road. You got to be walking for the Lord, walking in obedience. You got to be walking in righteousness. Because if you do, God will clear your mind so that you can see people and see their sin and see how God can forgive them. And so you got to walk the high road. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, do your best to present yourself as God or to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We shouldn't be ashamed of what we did on the weekend. Right? And here's tip number three. When God has called you to gather them up, don't whine. I hate this. There's some things that I hate, and I know that's a strong word. But you know what I hate more than probably anything? A Christian that whines. And if you're a whiner, I love you, but please don't whine around me. I hate sharing my faith. It's a horrible thing. I just can't do it. I'm just not good enough. I just don't know how. I can't. God has not given me. I just hate it. I want to punch him in the face. And you say, well, that's not for, I want to do it in Jesus' name. But here's the thing. I don't know why we have any reason to whine. I really don't. You say, well, that's so hard. I mean, that's just tough. And sometimes, guess what? It is hard. Sometimes we get persecuted when we open our mouths. But guess what? Glory be to God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. That's what the Bible says. Glory be to God. Do I look for a fight? No. But if a fight comes, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight for the souls of man, the souls of women, the souls of kids. You know why? Because I want them to spend a life in eternity in heaven. That's what I want. And so here's the thing. Stop whining. Christians, as Christians, and again, we have troubles in our life just like everybody else. And I'm not saying don't share your troubles with your friends. Don't, you know, talk about those. Don't get help. You know, I'm not telling you to suck it up and be a, you know, be your own man because, again, we need people. But stop whining. There's nothing good about negative talk. I mean, the Bible says it. In Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, right? Come before his presence with singing. And so again, and you say, well, you know, it's hard. Well, it is hard. But you're going to reap a harvest if you'll do it. Now, here's the thing. The second thing that you have to do, and I'm done. Once you've made the big circle, you've got to make some disciples. You've gathered them up, and now you are to make disciples. Look at verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make what? Let's say it again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know what we must do? It's not about just making a decision. It's about making disciples. You get it? I mean, we can get people in here and I can make them cry. I can make them all come up to the front. I can make them all make a decision, fill out a card, and they can walk out here and never be changed in any way. But if I will get them in a place where they can receive Christ, and I will encourage them, and they receive Christ, and then I begin to teach them the Word of God, guess what? They can become a disciple, not just a decision. That's what I'm after. You say, what are we supposed to teach them? We're supposed to teach them what Jesus taught them. Jesus taught them about baptism. You know what? Jesus himself was baptized. Why was he baptized? Because he wanted to be obedient to God. You say, well, does baptism save you? No. Baptism doesn't save you. It is by grace through faith that you are saved. But baptism is an act of obedience that God has asked us all to do. And so maybe that's what we need to teach them. Another thing we need to teach them is the Word of God. You say, how do you make a disciple? Well, you teach them the Word of God. I mean, it says in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, where is everything that he has commanded us? In the Bible. And so that's what we're supposed to teach them. And so here's the thing. Christ's commission is simple. It's simple. The Bible says that you're to go and you're supposed to make disciples. And so I want to end today by singing you a song. Here's the truth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those disciples, they're all dead. And here's my question. And it's a question for all of us. Who is going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill their shoes? I want to sing you a song. It's a song by the great George Jones, who actually just passed away a couple weeks ago, if you didn't know that. And it's called Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? And I've added my own few verses here, so don't make fun of my writing skills. I think I'm gonna head to Nashville and start writing a little bit. Is this thing on? Anybody heard this song, Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes by George Jones? Great song. And so I want to honor George Jones, who, you know, was no show Jones in the first part of his life, but he showed up for the Lord and the Lord showed up for him. And he left this world knowing Jesus Christ as his Savior. And if you didn't know that, he was a great man of God. So I honor George and I honor the Lord today with this song. This world. Sorry, got to capo it. Let's try this again. This world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen
to tear your heart out when they sing. Imagine life without them. All your radio heroes, like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dream. No, there'll never be another red-headed stranger, a man in black in Folsom prison blues. Okie from Muskogee, hello, darling. Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Sing it with me.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? And who's gonna stand that tall? And who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? And who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. God bless the boys from Memphis, blue suede shoes and Elvis. Much too soon he left this world tears. They tore up the 50s, Jerry Lee and Charlie. Go Cat Go still echoes through the years. You know the heart of country music still beats with Luke the Drifter. You can tell it when he sings, I saw the light. And old Marty, Hank, and Lefty, well, I can feel them right here with me on this silver eagle rolling through the night. And who's gonna feel their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna play the Opry and the Wabash Cannonball? And who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. You know the Lord has asked us all to go and make a circle and gather all the strays up while we can. And I, for one, desire to please my Savior, see this crazy world go from darkness to the light. Peter, Paul, and Silas were willing to go to prison for the glory and the praise of Jesus Christ. But they're all gone and dead now, and the Lord needs some others to go and tell the story of eternal life. And who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall? And who's gonna share the gospel and give the Lord their all? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to this old world? Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. And who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna stand that tall? And who's gonna share the gospel? Give the Lord their all. And who's gonna give their heart and soul to save this old world? Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes. Lord, I wonder who's gonna fill their shoes.
Would you bow with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you that question. Who's going to fill their shoes? Is it going to be you?
Listen, the Bible says, again, that we are to go and make disciples. And every believer has been called to do that. And listen, here's my question. How many people are closer to Jesus who have come to know Jesus because of you? How many people are walking with God today because of you? Listen, I want to encourage you, if you're a believer today and you're walking with Jesus Christ, you have nothing to be ashamed of. And God has called all of us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you, would you please fill the shoes of the disciples that aren't here anymore? And would you make more disciples by making that circle and reaching the lost? That's my challenge to you today. And I hope that God is challenging you as well, and that you will make a commitment today to say, you know what? I'm going to start gathering up the strays. I'm tired of going through this life for myself. I'm tired of just going through the motions as a Christian and being a lukewarm Christian. I'm ready to be who God has called me to be. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you need to make that commitment today. I challenge you to do that. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you just need to pray that prayer and just say, okay, Lord, send me. Send me out. Drop me off. Show me the pasture that you want me to gather and give me the strength to do it. And I thank you for going with me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just kind of wonder. I wonder who would say, you know what, Bo, that's me. I'm going to make that commitment today. I'm gonna say to the Lord today that, you know what, I'll go. I'll gather the circle. I'll make the circle, and I'll gather those steers. I'll gather those lost souls so that they can be reached for Christ. Would anybody with everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed, would anybody raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm committing today to do that? By raising your hand, thank you, all across the room. Anybody else that would just say, you know what, I'm going to commit to do that. I'm not going to go through this life any longer. Just for myself, I'm going to go. And I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and that's to gather up the lost. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Listen, maybe you're here today and you need to be gathered. Maybe you're here today and you've never heard the good news of Jesus. And for the first time today, you realize that maybe Jesus came to this world to die so that you might have life. Listen, you can come to know the Savior today. He says that if you will confess with your mouth and say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want you to forgive me of my sin, he will come in and he will forgive you. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to just, you know, pray that prayer in your heart and say, okay, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin so that I don't walk alone, so that I don't ride through this world alone, so that I know that you're always near me and I can always count on you. Maybe you just need to pray that today in your heart. Listen, if you did, if you maybe just prayed that prayer and said, okay, I give my life to you, Lord. Listen, we want to know about it. We want to celebrate with you. We want to equip you. We want to ride with you through this life. All we ask you to do, we're not going to ask you to come to the front. All we ask you to do is get an orange sheet off the guest table, fill it out, put it in the offering bucket, and then we will contact you. That's all we ask you to do. And so if you made a decision today and you want us to know about it, we want to know about it. And we challenge you and we encourage you to fill out that orange sheet. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God today. And I thank you that you have given us the Great Commission. You have equipped us. You've empowered us. You've given us the command and the order to go and make disciples. And Lord, I pray that as a cowboy and a cowgirl today, and everybody that's in this place, that we would be willing to say yes to that calling. And that we would see people come by the hundreds and be saved. Lord, I thank you for the individuals that are in this room that have already committed to that. And I thank you for those that have committed today to say, you know what, I'm going to make that circle. I'm going to gather those strays and I'm going to see those come to Christ. Through his power and by his forgiveness. And so, Lord, we thank you for those that made that commitment today. And for those that maybe give their heart to Christ today for the first time, Lord, just equip them, protect them, and help us to come alongside of them and support them. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for all that you're doing. And it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com. Or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.